Parshas Devarim. Okay, let's talk about it. So, if you look, I think you can almost perfectly slice Parshas Devarim right down the middle. It's 105 psukim long, and there is like a clear divide, 48 psukim in, or 47 psukim in. So it's literally just about right there, 47 psukim in. So it's just less than right down the middle. And I think that this, if you look, this week's parasha is Moshe Rabbeinu's farewell speech. It's the beginning of his farewell speech to the Jewish people. He is about to die, and he's about to impart to them everything that he has within him. So, for the most part, Sefer Devarim is a recap of their history, and then there's a bunch of laws, and some new mitzvahs, and some repeat mitzvahs that they had from earlier in the Torah. So I think that this Parsha Devarim, is sort of setting the stage for what that entire Sefer is going to be. And I think that if we analyze this, we'll be able to see something fascinating that will take us both through the entire Sefer Devarim, as well as into our own lives and selves and those around us. So let's get into it. Moshe starts off with the story of the people who left Mitzrayim. Now, just for those of you that are not so familiar, the people that are standing in front of Moshe at this point are the children of those who left Israel, because the people who left Israel, a year and a few months after they left Israel, they sent the Meraglim. We all know how that ended. They get doomed to 40 years of wandering in the desert where they will all die, and it is their children who will come into the land of Israel. So now Moshe is talking to their children, and I would like to suggest to you that the people, these two generations, the parents and children, represent two prototypical relationships we can have with Hashem that are pretty much opposites of each other, and I will explain how. So, let's first talk about the Parsha. So Moshe first tells them the story, for the first 47 psukim, Moshe tells them the story of their parents, about the Meraglim, what happened, and how they were doomed to 40 years of wandering in the desert. Then one pasuk to the next, he skips over 38 years of history, and there for sure were stories that happened there. He doesn't mention, there's zero mention of it, and he jumps right into now this new generation and how they started. They went to Moab, they went to Esav, they destroyed Sichon, they destroyed Og, and now we're standing here. That's how he ends. That's how the parsha ends. So I think that the first generation that left Egypt, left Mitzrayim, they were, I'm going to call them a reactive generation. They, for the most part, if you look at their history, they were on the receiving end. They were not proactive, they were reactive. Now, I know that sounds like a bad thing, but let me explain. The name I give them is the incubator generation, because I think that they were in Hashem's incubator, so to speak. If you look at what they had happened to them, they received the man. They had a traveling well that went with them. Their clothes grew with them. And even in the beginning, they watched Hashem destroy the Egyptians. They had heard from their parents that they were going to be saved from Mitzrayim. There was not much that they actually did on their own. And every single thing from the beginning all the way through, all the way till the Meraglim happened, actually, everything that happens to them is that they're receiving. If you think about how they traveled, they had the Anani HaKavod, where they were just surrounded by this cloud that stopped their enemies. It spread mountains apart for them. It killed off dangerous animals. It really just took care of them, literally like an incubator. And if you think about their highlight, what is their highlight? This generation, they received the Torah. Again, they're receiving it. So everything about them is receiving. Now, I'm sure some of you are looking at whatever device you're listening to this on and saying, wait a second, they fought with Amalek. But if you look at what happened, they didn't defeat Amalek. It says, Vayachalesh. They only weakened them. And what's even more interesting is that Moshe was the leader of that generation, but Moshe doesn't fight. When they're fighting with Amalek, Moshe is sitting on top of a mountain with his hands up. And Moshe can't even hold his hands up by himself. He needs other people to hold his hands up for him. And who's the one on the ground doing the fighting? It's Yeshua, who's the leader of the next generation. So even when they're active, they're not. Their leader is not active. Everything about them is reactive. And the few times that they tried to be active, epic disaster. For example, the eagle, right? They say, let's make a god. That ended horribly. The Meraglim, Hashem says, this is in this week's parsha, actually, Moshe says, Hashem said, We're done with Har Sinai. We're going to travel. I'm going to zoom you off to Har Sinai. It's going to be an 11-day journey done in 3 days. All you have to do is just sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. I will take you there. And they decide, no, we want to be active. We want to send out spies. Again, horrible, horrible repercussions of that. 40 years in the desert, they spend wandering. And even if you look, and Moshe says this in this week's, this is the end point before he transitions into the next generation. What happens is the people wake up the day after the Meraglim and they realize what happened. They say, no, we want to be active. We don't want to wander in the desert. So we're going to go to war. We're going to fight the people. We're going to fight the Amorim. And we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe says, now is not the time to act, guys. Just don't go to war. And they go to war. And the Pasuk says that... It says, "Vayirdefu eskam," that the Amorim chased down the Jews who were trying to go into Eretz Yisrael. Kaasher ta'asena ha-devoirim. They traveled, they ran after them and they chased them like the bees. Vayaksu eskam b'seir at charma, and they smote them. They were struck down in Seir. So if you've ever seen somebody getting chased by a bee, it is the most reactive, situation you could possibly have. This person has nothing. It's an action based off of reaction. There's nothing active about this. The person is flailing wildly as he can to get away from this bee. So even when they're being active, this is what they're doing. And I think that's generation number one. And generation number two is their children. Their children are the ones that are going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, if you look at them, they're the exact opposite. All the stories we have of them are active. First of all, aside from being active, but they lose all the protection, all the incubator stuff that their parents had. They lose the Anania Kavod. They lose the well that Miriam had. They even lose the Mun. They lose all of that. Not protection. They lose all of the stuff that Hashem had been giving to their parents, and they have to go into the land and get it on their own. They're going to have to plant seeds, let the wheat grow, cut it down, dry it. They're going to have to grind it, bake it. They're going to have to work cattle. They're going to have to live in the fields. They're going to have to build their own houses. They're going to have to go to war against their enemies, divide up the land, settle it, cultivate it. Everything that they're doing is active, and I call them the farmer generation. So it's the incubator generation and the farmer generation. And these two are seemingly at odds with each other. And if you look at the farmer generation, even in the desert, the stories that we have of them, they get tired from traveling and they complain, which is something that their parents had done. But this is where they differ, because their parents always complained, and now they're complaining. But their parents never turned around and said, we made a mistake. Here, if you look in Parshas Chukas, they make a mistake. They come to Hashem, they come to Moshe, and they say, we're sorry, we made a mistake. Chatanu. They come to Moshe and say, we made a mistake. Fix it for us. And then Moshe, in fact, Hashem tells them Hashem fixes it for them. And they also fight Amalek. And in fact, it says that they win Amalek this time. They go to war against Sichon and Og. They beat them. They have Pinchas, who is active. Bilaam tried to react on them. They tried to be passive in the story of Bilaam, and they weren't even good at being passive there. Bilaam wasn't successful at acting upon them. They can't be acted upon, these people. They are the farmers. They go out there and they act upon the world. And I think that these two prototypes, let's call them, define two different types of relationships that we can have with Hashem. A good example would be a child and an adult, right? So let's get into what each of these mean. So the first generation is more like a child. A child is born and all they do is receive. All they do is want, right? Now, if you're thinking about that, it sounds bad. It sounds just not very helpful to the world. It sounds like all you're doing is needy. You're just complaining. But if you think about the beginning of these people, and this is a perfect mushel for a child, because I heard a video from Charlie Harari once that he makes all of his kids stand up on top of, let's say, some high point in the playground, and they have to fall backwards into his arms, and he catches them. And his story over there is that once he was far away and he dove to catch his kid, because which father wouldn't catch their kid? Okay, that's his story. But the trust that a child has for a parent, and I think this is true even more so for younger children, you see the trust that they have. Any kid, any healthy child with a healthy parent would fall off backwards because they know there isn't even like a hava mina. There's no even like question in their mind whether they should trust their parent. The trust is so natural and it's so obvious that they trust their parent because my parent takes care of me. Of course I trust him or her. And I think that this generation, what they did, yes, they were reactive and yes, they were passive in most cases, but the trust that they had in Hashem, because they didn't know that they were going to get that when they left Mitzrayim, right? When they're standing in front of the Yamsuf, again, where they were passive, the sea split for them. They didn't have to do much, but they didn't know that that would happen. They didn't know that they would get the Mun. They didn't know that they would get the Ananei Kavod. All they knew is that there is a Hashem. What their parents had told them and grandparents in Mitzrayim had told them was, Pakad Yifkoid Elikim Eskam, Hashem will remember you and he will take you out of here. They knew that. Now, as soon as they got that message, they're like, we're going. We're out. So, but they didn't know where they were going. They didn't know that they would be cared for. But there was just this blank trust that, of course, I'm going to get cared for. It's so obvious. This is Hashem. This is my father. Of course, he's going to take care of me. And I think it's this trust, that this childlike trust that's unquestioned, unprecedented. There's no prerequisite for this trust. It's just there because it's obvious. It's like there's no reason for it not to be there. I think this trust is the powerful point and the positive aspect of this relationship that we have with Hashem, of this type of relationship. And the second relationship is more of that of an adult. An adult doesn't necessarily have anybody taking care of him. An adult has to go out into the world and make his way by himself. And that is the second generation. Now, the plus over there, let's talk about it in terms of Hashem. The plus over there is, yes, they're not blindly trusting, but in a way they are. Because let's talk about a farmer. What a Jewish farmer in those days, let's say the first, if you could imagine it, the first time they're planting, so they're doing all this work on their own and they're acting on the world and they're being, you know, not aggressive, but they're going out there and they're doing things and they're changing the world and they're operating within this world, within a field with cattle and building and construction, and in modern day with finances and investment and also construction and real estate and studying and books and school and things where Hashem is not very obvious or apparent. There's no real, you can't really see Hashem very much in those things. But the job of the farmer is to be in the world and operate in a space where there isn't necessarily obvious holiness, and they find holiness in those places. They get into the ground and they say, you see an apple, I see a gift from God. Yeah, it looks like I did it, but really it's a gift from God. It's something that Hashem gave me that I can use to recognize Hashem. So what they do is the same way that the first generation, the incubator people, the same way they jump into a desert and say, Hashem will catch me, these people, they dig into the earth and they say, I'm going to find Hashem. I'm going to find Hashem in places where you would not have thought he existed. You don't think Hashem exists in cows? Yes, he does. There are dozens of mitzvahs that we do with cows, both while they're alive. We bring karbanas from cows. We have the mitzvah of Meiser, tefillin, kashrus. There's things, most of the Torah actually is mitzvahs of things that seem so mundane, but our job is to operate in that space and to live in that world and bring Hashem into the area where it's not obvious that he's there. And I think that this week's Parsha is the coming together of like almost a perfect coming, almost two perfect halves of Moshe telling us there were your parents and there's you guys. There were incubator people and there's farmers. And both are completely viable and both are completely perfect ways of connecting to Hashem. And each person, I think in the world nowadays, there's both types of people, and each one of us have some mixture of the two types. Some days you wake up and you feel yourself in Hashem's arms. You don't feel like you have a worry in the world. You have confidence of where your next meal, shelter, and nutrition is coming from. You have everything taken care of, and you feel like you just do not have to worry because Hashem is there for me. And then sometimes you wake up in the morning and all you see in front of you is just an open field. Maybe there's storms, maybe not. There's no hint of Hashem there. And you have to get down, put on your overalls. You have to dig into the land. You've got to plant. You've got to pick. You've got to pluck. You have to raise your animals. You have to go to work. You have to sit in meetings. You have to do deals with not Jews. You have to do so many things where Hashem seems like he's just not there. And you have to find him. And every single day, we each have different personalities, but I think both both aspects, both types of relationship come to one within us. And I think that this is in some way also the relationship of Yaakov and Esav. I think that Yaakov is the first type, the trusting person who is a Yoshev HaHalim, who spends his life just trusting in Hashem. Hashem is going to take care of me. I have no need to worry about anything. Hashem, I am going to sit in my tent and learn Torah and connect to Hashem that way. And Esav is the one who is active out in the world. And I think that as we go through this Sefer, we're going to see how we know that Yaakov, it's pretty well known that Yaakov took over Esav's role. That was why he married both Rachel and Leah. That was why he bought the Bechira. That's why he ended up getting the brachas from Yitzchak. He ended up taking over Esav's role. And Yaakov has both Yaakov and Yisrael. He has these two names and two realities to him. And I think that these two generations are sort of a playing out of those two aspects, of those two personalities. And I think that as we go through Sefer Devarim, which I hope you guys will enjoy as much as I will, you'll see how different things that get repeated throughout the Sefer are repeated slightly differently because they're talking to a different person, they're talking to a different personality, to a different generation. And even things that were, you know, mentioned in the first four books of the Torah and not mentioned here, or vice versa, things that were mentioned in Devarim and not mentioned in the first four books when it talks about mitzvahs, I think there's a reason for each of those, and I'm looking forward to spending the next few weeks exploring the Sefer and seeing how we can learn about these two different types of personalities and see how they exist within us and how to bring them to peace and learn to live and serve Hashem through both ways. And obviously it wouldn't be complete if I didn't have some language parallel, and I think that to prove the point that both of these relationships and both of these prototypes are equally viable and perfect and amazing ways to connect to Hashem, I think the Torah compares them linguistically in at least two cases. Both right in the beginning of the parsha, Moshe says that Hashem comes down and tells them they were sitting at Har Sinai. That's where the parsha starts, and it says, Hashem alekenu diber elenu b'chayrev le'mar, rav lachem sheves bahar hazeh. Rav lachem sheves bahar hazeh. It's, you've had enough time sitting at this mountain. And right after the halfway point in the parsha, Moshe tells the people that Hashem says to them, to these people that he was just talking to, which happened just a few months ago, Hashem says, rav lachem sheves bahar hazeh, right? It's enough for circling this mountain because we heard that they had been circling Har Seir. There was just sort of wandering and circling mountains in the desert. So we have Rav Lachem Sheves Bahar Hazeh and Rav Lachem Seves Ahar Hazeh. Again, by the way, that's reactive and proactive. The first generation is just sitting there. They're Sheves Bahar. And the second generation is Seves Ahar. But in language, they're both the same. They're both just, you spend too much time doing whatever you're doing. Now go to Eretz Yisrael. Both have the way to get to Eretz Yisrael. And another, also in the same pasuk, it says the first generation gets told, "Pnu su'ulachem, turn around from Har Sinai and travel for yourselves, go to Eretz Yisrael." And the second generation gets told, "Pnu lachem tzafayna, turn yourselves north and go to Eretz Yisrael." Both of these people, both of these types of relationships, and both of these generations have the ability to go to Eretz Yisrael and to connect to Hashem. And I think that's what the Torah is trying to tell us. And again, I think this is just the beginning of an entire sefer that will open up these two types of relationships with Hashem for us. Have a wonderful Shabbos and a beautiful Tisha B'Av.